Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Jim Flink. This week, our focus turns to Brazil. That country is set to be on the international stage this summer as the World Cup comes to Brazil. But not everyone in the country is pleased with what else comes with the responsibilities of putting on one of the world's largest sporting events. Protests took place last summer during a World Cup warm-up tournament, with demonstrators expressing anger over the amount of money being spent to bring the games to Brazil. The country is rapidly trying to improve infrastructure and to finish construction projects before the games start in June. But preparations have been slow going, and some are still worried that the games won't go off without a hitch. Some journalists even have expressed concern about covering the World Cup, citing unsafe conditions for them in Brazil. Joining us on Global Journalist today to talk about Brazil and perhaps the darker side of the World Cup, Mikkel Kjeldorf, a Danish journalist who dreamed of covering the World Cup in Brazil, but who has just left the country recently over safety concerns, among other issues. Lucy Jordan is a British journalist based in Brasilia. She has contributed to the New York Times and has written for a number of other publications. And Mauricio Savarese, a Brazilian journalist, is based in Sao Paulo. He has covered sports and other issues for Reuters. Mikkel, let's start with you. Your decision to stop covering the games in Brazil has created a bit of a discussion. So can you take us back to that decision, why you made it, and the feedback you've gotten?
Sure. I was based in Rio de Janeiro doing a documentary about the World Cup preparations. And I met a lot of people who, of course, were affected by the World Cup preparations and heard a lot of their stories. The turning point for me was when I took a trip to Fortaleza in northern Brazil. Fortaleza is the fifth most unequal city in the world and the seventh most dangerous city in the world. So I was trying to figure out what kind of city is this, the host of seven games. And I met some social organizations working with street children and prostitutes, minor prostitutes. And of course, it was a very tough life they had, the street children and the prostitutes. And some people from the social organizations told me that they have recently discovered that death squads have been appearing in the city, and it's something that has been in the history of Brazil before, but they started to see it in Fortaleza just months before the World Cup, and they told me that they were pretty sure that it was because of the World Cup, and it was for foreign journalists not to see the street children who are the street children I met were right outside of McDonald's, who's the biggest sponsor of the World Cup. They were sitting there smoking crack. So obviously there's a huge problem with the image of the World Cup and these street children in the streets. And when I found out that maybe I'm persuaded, I don't have the smoking gun, but maybe there are actually kids who is getting killed for the sake of me, for me not to see that this is how bad it is in Fortaleza. Of course, it's Fortaleza is maybe the most it's the worst in the worst state of all the cities who will receive the World Cup. So I was quite shocked, and my decision to leave was based on that I. Doing this story, I could put these kids in more danger because they were allegedly killed because I wasn't supposed to see them. So I was thinking that the more I try to find these children, the more I would end up putting them in danger.
So your belief is with what is in effect social cleansing going on in some of these cities, that's your assertion, that and certainly that is, a as you mentioned, a long-running assertion that has happened for a long time, that somehow you might be being manipulated by what was going on, or that you might inadvertently manipulate your audience to believe that things were better than they were?
No, it's quite common that a lot of these things that are being done for cleaning up the cities are because they want to show and portray Brazil in the best manner. And of course, if foreign journalists don't see all the bad sides, then it's better for the image of Brazil. And I don't think there's so many foreign journalists who go to Fortaleza in North Brazil, and certainly not it's mainly located in maybe Rio de Janeiro. There's a lot of journalists there, so it's more difficult. But in Fortaleza, I think it's a different story, and I think they are trying to portray Fortaleza from its best side, and it has a price.
But and we should note that you've been on the ground in Brazil for a year and a half, so certainly, you know, you didn't just arrive, see this, and then decide to check out. Nonetheless, Lucy Jordan, you've been there for 2 years. I'm sure you've probably seen some of the same things. It's not that this would be a secret in Brazil, and yet you have a very different point of view about how you would choose to cover this.
I haven't worked in Fortaleza, so I can't really comment on whether this story is something I've seen or not there. Certainly I've seen poverty and prostitution and unsavory things that happen in all countries, especially all countries that are developing and have high levels of inequality. And this story, I think it's plausible. I mean, we know that where cities have high levels of inequality and high levels of poverty, children are at risk. My problem is that we don't know whether it's true or not until another reporter goes there and fact checks it and finds out with a number of sources that this is really happening. We can't necessarily say that it's happening for sure. And I think as journalists, I understand that it's a difficult thing to see and to feel that culpability, which you clearly do feel, is a difficult thing. And I've covered very traumatic things as well. I was on the child rape beat in Cambodia for a year, which was unpleasant, of course. But the problem is that as journalists, we're in Brazil to find out the truth and to cover stories like this. That's really my position on this.
Mauricio Severese, you've been in Brazil 32 years, so you undoubtedly have maybe a deeper take on some of this. Is it right for journalists to look at these issues? I'm guessing the government isn't saying don't cover those things, but at the end of the day, we're talking about a sporting event, and so shining a light on this still becomes a minor part of the coverage, does it not?
No doubt. But one thing I'd have to say before this is that Mikkel's information hasn't been properly checked. That's my perception. There's one NGO that works in Fortaleza called Menino Nazareno. They've been there for a very long time. And what they report is something different. They report that which is not something that I applaud. It's just, I'm just reporting some facts. That children were downtown Fortaleza. They were taken to shelter houses in other parts of the city. They have been working there for decades. They haven't talked about death squads killing children there. Brazil has a history of death squads, no doubt, especially in poor areas of big cities. And it is one of the grievances that our police surely has. But Mikkel's story, at least until now, doesn't seem to be properly checked. So this is one of the things that I'd like to state first. Secondly, reporters have to be in Brazil to report all the issues regarding the World Cup, human rights, just like in any other country. And to my perception, although I do respect how people feel about things, and if they want to leave because that's too hard for them, I'm pretty okay with that, and you have to respect that. But as a journalist, running away from stories isn't the best choice. Journalism is always the best answer for these grievances, and I think, of course, I'm sure he heard loads of that from different people, but since not many people in Rio got to know him during the time he spent here, and we only took his Facebook report as a first indication he was here. I'd like to engage in that conversation as well. That report, he's welcome to come back and report and do as many reports as he wants, but those have to be properly checked. That's my criticism in a way, respectfully.
Sure. And Mikkel, let's just let you weigh in on this quickly. And I, you know, this show will be obviously about more than this, but I do want you to kind of address this vetting process and whether you felt like you properly vetted that story enough to your satisfaction.
Sure. Regarding the social organizations you were talking about, I know Pequeno Nazareno, and I visited them as well. The thing is that these organizations, of course, if they go out and say stuff that are very, very critical of the police or of the government, it's of course something that is very, very hurtful for them. So it's one thing what these organizations can say, for a local newspaper, but another thing is what they can tell a journalist like me off the record. And that's, of course, a thing that is very, very difficult to work with when you're a journalist. And that's, of course, I have to protect my sources, because this is a subject that you can get killed talking about this out loud. And there's been in recent history also journalists who've talked about this that has been murdered. About covering the Lucy, you were talking about running away from the story and not covering the bad stuff. I think it's different in this situation because it's not a war situation where you have one party and another party, or it's not a situation that necessarily is there all the time. From what I was told, this is the journalists are involved in the story because they are creating. When you are sort of foreign journalists come to a city, the city wants to make an image for you. So as soon as you go to, for example, Fortaleza and see these children, you become a part of the story because you make it more dangerous for them. That's why I think it's different from, example, going to Africa and cover a story about poverty or a hunger or a war.
I want to jump in on that point momentarily. You're listening to Global Journalist. I'm Jim Flink. Today we're talking about Brazil and perhaps the darker side of the World Cup. Joining us, Mikkel Kjeldorf, who is a Danish journalist who dreamed to cover the World Cup in Brazil. He just recently left the country over safety concerns. Lucy Jordan is a British journalist based in Brasilia. She has contributed to the New York Times and has written for a number of other publications. And Mauricio Savarese, a Brazilian journalist, is based in Sao Paulo. He has covered sports and other issues for Reuters. Would like to remind you can listen to this and other full episodes of Global Journalist on our website. That's globaljournalist.org. For more Global Journalist content, you can also like us on our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter. That is at Global Journ. So let's pick up on the issue of danger for journalists. In 2014, INES said that Brazil was the deadliest country for journalists. Lucy, have you felt in danger at any point in terms of covering this? And if so, how?
I felt physically in danger during the protest last year at certain points. The protests were, at some point, you know, there was lots of tear gas used and pepper spray, and I did feel that I was at risk then. And rightly so, as we saw the poor cameraman from Globo killed during a protest in Rio recently. But I would caveat that statistic of it being it is very deadly for journalists, but most of those journalists are unfortunately covering corruption in quite isolated parts of the country. You don't see, and I'm not saying that this is better or worse at all, I'm just pointing
sure.
this out.
Right.
Most of the journalists who are killed are covering land disputes in Mato Grosso or Amazonas, or corruption in isolated places. You don't see journalists like Mauricio or myself being targeted, really. So I just like to point that out.
Sure. Mauricio, let's talk a little bit about the infrastructure because, you know, and we saw some of this in Sochi and the complaints were similar there that these cities, to be on the world stage, do sort of do a little social engineering, if you will. They'll move out undesirable parts of the city, perhaps place a stadium in that part of the city. So, and that sort of is part and parcel of what many people perceive as improvement, do they not?
Well, technically, but especially in the beginning of the buildings, the new sites, there were evictions which were not lawful. After some months, I guess, there was a beginning of agreement. There were agreements between city halls and these communities because they noticed this could trigger something bigger. So you can see that if you go to the Arena Corinthians in São Paulo, there's an agreement with one favela that lives there, so they can move to a project based on a city hall agreement. But in the beginning, many of those evictions weren't really lawful. It was a difficult moment for the World Cup projects, and I'm pretty sure there's people who are being affected by that until now. I know that there's people who actually, I mean, kids who lost their school year because they couldn't go, they couldn't attend the schools they were going to. So there are surely difficulties with the whole social planning, the social construction of the World Cup projects as well, not only the physical construction of the sites, but also the social construction of it.
And because you've covered sport considerably, do you believe that, and I'm asking you to go out on a limb here if you're comfortable with doing that, do you believe that the IOS and FIFA, organizations such as that promise a world stage like this to a nation like Brazil, should have conditions that go along with that? Or is there a school of thought that believes that should be part and parcel of the agreement?
Well, there's one important thing to talk about in the IOC and the FIFA statements is that the fact that Brazil hasn't done the best planning in the world for these events, it doesn't mean we have to take their statements by face value, for the face value. For example, the IOC, they were for a very long time entrenched in the war to elect a president, and they have kept themselves from making a public statement about Rio for a very long time. And FIFA has corruption issues that we are very aware of. People that are friends with FIFA, they love to get some contracts, especially if they're emergency contracts, to finish things at the last minute. I'm not saying this happened to Brazil, but this is certainly something that will have to be investigated. I would say that Brazil had, especially in the World Cup, there was a political arrangement that stalled the works for a long, long time. Since Brazil wanted to have 12 cities in the World Cup so it could be seen as a national event, the whole cities were only placed in 2009, so long afterwards the decision from FIFA. I would say that because of the traditions of finishing things at the last moment, and FIFA being also very difficult to deal with, these two ingredients combined resulted in delayed works. But as we saw in South Africa, as we saw in Italy in 1990, as we saw in the Euros with Poland and Ukraine, the 6 months in the run-up to the big sporting events are full of criticism. I've covered two Olympic Games myself, and even in London, you could see people going berserk about... I remember the Times of London, this very serious newspaper, printing an editorial against St. Peter because it was raining too much. So people get very jumpy before these big social, big sporting events. And I would say Brazil is getting loads of that as well. But if the competition unravels fairly nicely, I would say that most of this criticism was going to be, if not forgotten, at least put in a lower level than it is now.
And Lucy, you made a decision 2 years ago to go. I don't know. Talk a little bit about what went into that. Was that about learning the language, sort of knowing the venues a little bit better? You know, obviously, it seems like you want to cover the political issues and the development as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say my decision to move to Brazil was not motivated by the World Cup entirely. I moved, as many people have, for love, essentially.
Okay.
But the timing was perfect.
Right.
And I'm certainly glad to be here at such an exciting time.
And yet many news organizations are choosing to embed reporters, obviously with two huge world events going on, quite early in this process. What goes into that decision making? And, you know, we all talk about shining light on the problems that a country might have. Sometimes after the global spotlight fades, so does the coverage along with it.
Yeah, I think it's great that implanted long before the tournament starts. There certainly will be people who are covering just the sport action of it who will parachute in and parachute out, but that's not... I won't be covering the sport aspect of it so much as the social impact and so on, like most of the freelancers here, I think. And perhaps the foreign... You know, this is perhaps goes back to what Mikhail was saying about the image needing to be cleaned up for foreign journalists. I think that if, let's just say for argument's sake, that this is all accurate, maybe they were cleaning up for the foreign journalists who will be there just for the tournament, in which case the foreign correspondents who are here and the Brazilian journalists who are here longer term, it really is our job in that case to discover that that's happening.
And Mikhail, to carry that point one point further, there are many people who will say this is really about the sport and the issues that this country faces, similar to what Russia might face in terms of what was going on in Sochi. Those are those issues that stay within those international borders, and that this discussion ought to just remain on sport. And your response to that might be?
Well, I think that obviously there's been these problems also before there was talk about World Cup and the Olympics, but I think it's important to notice that these mega events are creating the problems because they have to do a lot of time where they have to push on, maybe not in a democratic way, and they have to do these extreme measures to get the cities ready. So I think it's impossible to not talk about how the mega events are affecting, because it's so obvious that they are. And of course, I also went there. I've been a sport journalist for 3 years, so I also went there for covering the sporting events. But as I got more and more into the social issues, the sporting event just didn't have my interest anymore, because I didn't think that there was any reason to celebrate the football because it cost so much.
You set out to do a documentary. What was going to be the focus of the documentary?
The social and human prize of the World Cup.
And is that an ongoing sort of theme for something? Because certainly, even though the next World Cup is a ways away, we're already talking about some of the social issues at that venue as well.
Yeah, obviously, there's, as long as it's in these developing countries, I think there's always going to be something to dig into, because it is a kind of a new trend to have these mega events in the BRIC countries and countries that maybe aren't ready for the World Cup yet. If you had it in Germany every year, I think it would be difficult to be very, very critical.
Right. Mauricio, how would you say that the Brazilian government has responded to, whenever these events are put on, there is much made of infrastructure that isn't built on time, that kind of thing. But how has the Brazilian government done, given that Brazil was chosen in 2007, the world economy, including Brazil's, was in a much better and different place. How have they done since then and in the setup for these games?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to use is a quote by Richard Lapper, who's the former FT editor in Brazil. He says that Brazil is neither that great nor that terrible, and the biggest difficulty in the country is to address things as they are. So I would say that Brazil is very far from doomsday, and of course it's not Germany, but when they gave the World Cup to Brazil, it wasn't meant to be in Germany anyways. It was meant to be in Brazil with all its particularities and its traits. Of course, the World Cup in South Africa was also a good moment for Africa, and they probably thought at FIFA, at least those who were thinking of the social impact, they thought that it could also bring a good social impact to South America as a whole, just like the IOC did in sending the Olympics to Rio. The Brazilian government spends much more on healthcare, which is already faulty, than it spends on the World Cup. I'd have to say that in stadia, particularly, the amount spent, which is obviously a waste, is $4 billion. And if you think of the healthcare budget just for 2012, we spent $45 billion. So the issue isn't really the World Cup. And when the protests kicked off last year, last year. It wasn't about the World Cup either. It was pretty much about loads of different things. It was as if you were in a Twitter, in a Twitter timeline, and you see people protesting for very different things. And of course, since the World Cup was coming, this became also the story. For the government is of course difficult. That's why they are putting out campaigns to make Brazilians proud of hosting the World Cup. But again, one of the things that I always remember foreigners is that Brazilians are very bipolar. So in this sense, we're as of now, we're not ready to host the Angolan Championship of rugby. But we're at the end of the World Cup, people might feel they're ready to host the Winter Olympics.
Lucy, real quickly, just 31% of Brazilians believe that hosting the World Cup is actually going to improve things for the country. To Mauricio's point, there are some people who believe that even if Brazil, which is a football-crazy country, even if they won the World Cup, that somehow the country may have lost through this process. Have you heard that criticism?
Yes, I have. I mean, I would point out that just before the London Olympics, about 50% of Londoners still thought the Olympics would be bad for London, and that dissipated pretty quickly during the Games. I think it's been disappointing, the World Cup. I think it was an opportunity to do so much and to really improve the infrastructure that is poor and that affects the lives of ordinary people on a day-to-day level. And I don't think there's going to be a huge disaster in June. I think it'll go off and people will have a really good time. But it's from a legacy point of view, it's been a disappointment. They could have done a lot more than they've done.
And Mikkel, to that point, will you be watching? Will you wish that you were there, or will you feel that you made the right decision by not being there?
Yeah, I feel good about it, not being there for the World Cup and being seduced by the World Cup party, because I think it's going to be a great party for the tourists who are there. But I'll see it from Denmark.
And Mauricio, with less than a minute to go, will the country, obviously there's another huge spotlight coming just a couple of years hence here. Will the country continue to evolve from your point of view? Will these challenges be met, or will this be this sense of sort of half empty continue on through the Olympic Games?
I think the expectations will be different because people had very high expectations for the World Cup. And if I'm not mistaken, about 30% of the whole infrastructure works were actually carried out till the end, which is, of course, very frustrating. People are going to think differently for the Olympics, and they're going to have to catch up with something that we don't have as much in Brazil, which is getting interested in more and more sports. So the Olympics are going to be a challenge for engagement in the beginning, because people are much more engaged with football and a couple of other sports than with all the multiplicity of the Olympics. I would say that people will notice Brazil didn't explode during the World Cup, and because of that, the Olympics will have reasonable expectations, not as high as now. But I think it's going to be a great event to cover. I mean, everyone is going to be welcome. Mikkel, if you want to come back for the Olympics, you're more than welcome. And of course, there's going to be social issues to cover as well, not only sports. And of course, Rio, since it's a very international city, it's Brazil to the world, is Rio, in fact. There's going to be loads of attention, much more than in the World Cup, I suppose.
That's going to have to be the final word. That is all for this edition of Global Journalist, a production of the Reynolds Journalism Institute and the Missouri School of Journalism. Our thanks to our guests today, Mikkel Keldor, Lucy Jordan, and Mauricio Savarese. Our executive producer is Casey Morrell. Our lead producer this week is Victoria Mixute, with assistance from Cameron Dodd and Inez Gaviria. Travis McMillan from the Reynolds Journalism Institute is our technical director. Pat Akers from KBIA is our audio engineer. Join us again next time for another edition of Global Journalist. I'm Jim Flink. Thanks for listening.